The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to a Monday afternoon that follows the worst weekend in history for American media and Democrat politicians.
I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, this week on Friday, he is going to be delivering what I think are going to be his indictments, the final indictments.
I would not be surprised if there were a number of indictments that still were going to come down the pike.
There are indictments in this president's future.
That's a bombshell.
The bombshell.
This bombshell.
Drop the bombshell.
Bombshell accusation.
Bombshell accusation.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
This president needs to be impeached.
Impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't...
It's the only remedy.
The spirit of what Trump did is clearly treasonous.
This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
There's outright treason. I mean, there is no question.
I think he's feeling the noose around his neck.
The noose is tightening.
Oh. And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening.
He feels the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The sound of hoofbeats of all those investigations catching up with Donald Trump must be loud in his ears.
He may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time.
People might go to jail.
You're exactly right.
For the rest of their lives.
I think they're all going to jail.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good thing.
Oh, my God.
He has no idea that he's going down.
You're confident that at least some Trump associates will wind up in jail?
If I was betting, I would say yes.
Donald Trump Jr. gave us the dots. All we have to do is to connect them to see where this is going.
For more than 2 years, the American media and Democrat politicians have engaged in the wildest of fantasies, in the most bizarre of fantasies. They became consumed by their pathological hatred for the man who's the president of the United States. And I have to tell you, Friday night, my wife and I went out to a show, and when we came home, I flipped on CNN and MSNBC. Rachel Maddow's battling back tears. It looked like election night, where all of the anchors and analysts and panelists, they looked like they had just learned that their best friends had died. Because they were so engulfed in this fantasy. 2 years, they destroyed the integrity of media in America. Objective journalism is dead in America. What we have is a bunch of hyper-partisans. I mean, CNN was trotting Dan Rather out all weekend as a respected journalist emeritus. Dan Rather, whose bizarre George W. Bush fantasy and the fake documents got him fired from CBS News. And they were trotting him out as the respected analyst. Objective journalism is dead in America, consumed by the bile that was inside all of these purveyors of, yes, fake news. I mean, the little fantasies that they would spin, people like Rachel Maddow.
We're about to find out if the new president of our country is going to do what Russia wants. Whether or not Russia had help, whether they had Confederates inside the Trump campaign when they launched this attack, the presidency is effectively a Russian op, right? If the American presidency right now is the product of collusion between the Russian intelligence services and an American campaign, I mean, that is so profoundly big. This is not, partisan warfare between Republicans and Democrats. This is international warfare against our country.
No, it was major networks. NBC owns her network. It was major networks, New York Times, Washington Post, colluding with the Democratic Party to collude against a sitting president of the United States. And not only that, but even more damning, because the media's lost respect long, long ago. You know, the traditional heritage media lost everyone's respect long ago, everyone with a brain. But you had people who were Barack Obama's intelligence directors, like James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence, saying some of the most irresponsible stuff imaginable.
More and more, I come to the conclusion that after the Helsinki performance and since, that I really do wonder whether the Russians have something on him.
Do you know how damaging that is for our intelligence community, that they had this partisan fantasist outspinning his lies? And John Brennan, the former director of the CIA.
I use the term that this is nothing short of treasonous because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
They were just making it all up. And these were supposedly respected, respectable intelligence chiefs for the United States of America. It was in... I mean, first of all, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this weekend for a lot of reasons. I loved watching the implosion of what was left, the tiny shred that they were still clinging to at CNN and MSNBC, the last tiny shred of dignity that they had, and watching that totally evaporate, watching them devolve into the nothingness, into the ether. But man, they tried to take down this country. And you know what else I'm happy about? I'm happy our president wasn't compromised by Russians. I'm glad that the Russians did not impact an election of the United States of America. As an American, I'm incredibly happy. And that says a lot, too, about so many Democrats, that they are just mourning today. They wanted to wear black today like they did after election night. And why? Because an extensive report, 2 years of investigation by a prosecutor, they said, we put total trust in Mueller. Because Mueller is going to take down Trump, this man that we hate so passionately. And then their hero, their savior, Mueller, delivers vindication of the president. And watching the implosion of the mentally ill that make up about half of America, because they have been so consumed with their hatred. It's been something to watch. Now, you may notice, recognize, that for 2 years, while everybody else was obsessing on the Mueller probe, we never once talked about it on this show. Because I had no idea where it was going, but I knew it was likely a witch hunt. I know that there are an awful lot of politicians who are, you know, just should be shamed. There are a lot of so-called network journalists who should resign today. Oh, I loved going back and watching the Christmas video that went viral 3 months ago from the deranged left in America.
We wish you a Mueller Christmas. We wish you a Mueller Christmas. We wish you a Mueller Christmas and impeachment next year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry.
I'm not gonna force any more of that on you. It's 2 minutes montage of these people who are all singing that. A Mueller Christmas and indictments next year. Yeah. Let's also compromise the birth of our Lord and Savior and turn it into part of our political hate. Yeah, that's good thinking too there. So today has been as wacky as the last 2 years. Carl Bernstein, who was one of the two, along with Woodward, who broke the Watergate story. He had a time of relevancy in America. Now, sadly, that time was 45 years ago. Carl Bernstein went on CNN earlier today, and they said, oh, we've been doing great with this story.
I think you have to look at the larger context of the Cold Civil War that's going on in this country and the division in the country. And clearly, half of the country, 40%, 45% of the most intense Trump supporters would say that we have been terrible. And then I think the rest of the majority would say we've done a really good job. And I think we've done the media. The press has done one of the great reporting jobs in the history, especially of covering a presidency by the most news organizations.
They've done a great job covering it. That was his spin this morning on CNN, that we couldn't possibly have done better with this story. Oh, my goodness. Donald Trump this afternoon meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. And as you might imagine, this topic came up.
Did this turn out to not be a witch hunt after all? You think Robert Mueller did a...
It's lasted a long time. We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker. There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things. I would say treasonous things against our country. And hopefully that... People that have done such harm to our country. We've gone through a period of really bad things happening. Those people will certainly be looked at. I've been looking at them for a long time, and I'm saying, why haven't they been looked at? They lied to Congress. Many of them, you know who they are. They've done so many evil things. I will tell you, I love this country. This country, as much as I can love anything, my family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again. I can tell you that. I say it very strongly. Very few people I know could have handled it. We can never, ever let this happen to another president again. Thank you all very much.
There you go. That was Donald Trump at the White House earlier today. And so where does this leave us? Well, Trump's in pretty good shape. The Democrats have been exposed as fantasist liars for 2 years. The media that has worked so desperately to destroy him is in rubble. The networks that made this their 24/7 messaging for 2 years. ISIS just got run out of Syria. 71% of the people like the economy in this country, but they don't like the way he talks. That's what they're left with. This was their Hail Mary. Treason. Leaves the president in pretty good shape. We'll see. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
The other story over the weekend, and I tie this story to us here locally. Barbara Streisand made one of the most nauseating comments you can possibly imagine. After that Michael Jackson documentary that aired on HBO the last few weeks, where two adult victims who say they were raped as children by Michael Jackson. Barbara Streisand told a London newspaper that Michael Jackson's alleged child sex abuse victims were thrilled to be there. She also said that Michael Jackson's sexual needs were his sexual needs. Apparently meaning, oh, if he had a proclivity to rape children, then he had to rape children. Here's her quote. His sexual needs were his sexual needs, coming from whatever childhood he has or whatever DNA he has. You can say molested, but those children, as you heard say, the grown-up Robson and Safechuck, they were thrilled to be there. They both married and they both have children, so it didn't kill them. So, since they survived child rape and have gone on to rebuild their lives, that's your defense of Michael Jackson? She went on to say, it's a combination of feelings. I feel bad for the children. I feel bad for Michael. I blame, I guess, the parents who would allow their children to sleep with him. Why would Michael need these little children dressed like him and in the shows and the dancing and the hats? So how does this tie in locally? Well, it proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that Barbara Streisand is a child rape apologist. And we have a lot of those in Seattle government. Now, don't get me wrong. People always get furious when I say this. Not all Democrats are child rape apologists, but a shocking percentage are. When Sally Bagshaw was working to keep Ed Murray in the mayor's office after there was overwhelming evidence that Ed Murray had raped multiple little boys, Sally Bagshaw and other current members of the city council were working to keep him in the mayor's office because he was a fellow Democrat. That was more important to them than the child rape allegations. There are several people still making six figures in the Jenny Durkin administration who were trying to keep Ed Murray on the job despite credible and overwhelming child rape allegations against him. I would think that most Democrats would say, no, we're not going to allow these people to collect tax dollar paychecks. We're not going to keep Dime Bagshaw and the city council and the other council members who were enablers and who attacked Ed Murray's victims. We're not going to allow the staffers, the communications people who were making six figures as they moved from the alleged child rapist to Jenny Durkin's administration. We're not going to allow this. We got a clean house. If you're a child rape apologist, we don't want you to be part of our party and part of our government, but you've heard nothing of the sort. Because too many people seem to be okay with enabling or apologizing for child rape, as long as the alleged rapist is a Democrat. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then on a Monday afternoon, that'd be a good time to talk to the Monday Munson quarterback, Brock Heward, joins us coming up next.
Monday Munson quarterback.
Blue and it, check. Brown 24 Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With the 12s, hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Here's Dory Munson.
All right, it is Monday afternoon, and that means it's time for...
And now... Glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go.
The Monday Munson quarterback and Mr. Garth Brooks is a special guest this afternoon. Hello, Brock.
Oh, Dory. I got so many questions.
How was your
today.
Weekend?
Oh, it was
your weekend?
Yeah, Molly and I went and saw Garth. Molly's my lovely bride for you listening audience out there. Christmas gift. She surprised me on Christmas Day.
I didn't even know he was in town.
He wasn't. He was in Phoenix, Arizona. Stadium tour.
What?
78,000. Oh, yeah. Molly got the whole deal. Airfare. Tickets to the concert. I did tell her, though, as we were cramped into some normal seats, I said, next time you get airfare, can I do it, please? Because I've got miles and privileges with these other airlines. I can't sit all cramped. She's like, there probably will never be a next time if you're going to keep whining and complaining about a gift I put together for you.
What kind of money do you make over on the AM side that you can fly to Phoenix?
That's Molly.
For a Garth Brooks concert.
That's Molly. That's all Hewitt Interiors. That's her. That's Hewitt Interiors put that one together.
Wow. So, you
know, you marry,
that's pretty sweet.
You marry a high-powered interior designer, bro.
My goodness.
It was an amazing concert. I did think of you a little bit. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Garth is built a little bit like you are. And he came out there all bow-legged and everything. I'm like, man.
He just put Except on he's probably ridden a couple more horses than me.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And he loves what he does.
How can you not?
He loves the energy of the people. And I thought about you. I don't know why. That's kind of weird.
How many people were there?
78,000. The biggest crowd ever in Arizona Cardinals Stadium. Ever. Ever.
More than for the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, because they're able to pack in the stage. It's about the 35-yard line. So you had the whole football field packed with people. I'll show you a little video when we finish here. It was, okay. Oh, man, was it amazing. And the freeways down there, how cool is this? Their freeway reader board, something that would never happen in Seattle. Their freeway reader boards said, hey, alert, the thunder may roll and the lightning strike tonight. And if you don't know, that's one of Garth's famous songs, Thunder Rolls.
Oh.
And I look, and it, so that was on the freeway reader boards. And last night we were on a plane home, and one of the guys was like, oh, what were you doing then? Oh, Garth concert. He's like, yeah, those reader boards, they really screwed me up. I was thinking we were going to get a storm that night.
Flash
yeah,
flood.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, we're going to get a big old, how's thunder going to roll and lightning going to strike? It's 77 and sunny.
Wow.
That's because Garth came to town for quite a show. But honestly, I did think about you. Number one. Yeah. The guy is built a little like you, but more importantly, he loves what he does. He loves to put on the show. He feeds off the energy, just like you're going to here in a couple weeks with your own show.
I'm not going to have 78,000.
No, but it's going to be packed in the theater you're going to be at. And I bet the same way that he loves to entertain is the same way that you love to entertain. And I wish I could sing too. That also came. Can you sing?
No, I can't sing.
Not at all?
No.
Have you tried?
Yeah. I sing in my car every day. Every day when I'm driving home, I sing at the top of my lungs. I'm self-conscious about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird because if I'm talking to somebody on the phone in my car, on the Bluetooth, I'm yapping away and I couldn't care less if somebody sees that. But if I'm singing with a song, I get all self-conscious and I don't want anybody to see it. And I don't know why that is.
So your listener audience is a little broader and more varied, I think, than our sports radio audience. Question for them, and maybe they could answer this. They were the moral fan police when you sat on my left during the state title game. They were really concerned about that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, we were at this concert. It was really loud. But his songs are songs you sing to. Like, everybody was singing, but I've got kind of a loud voice and not a good voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, am I really like interfering with the show here?
Yeah, it's like, the worst.
The person next to me, should I not sing because I'm ruining the experience for her?
Correct.
But it was so loud, and I also...
If she can't hear you, then you're okay.
Right, but
if she can hear
how
you...
How do I know whether... Should I ask? Should I have asked her and been like, can you hear me singing off-key and terrible?
Where were your seats?
They were about 16 rows up in the stand. So he had all the stadium seating on the floor. And then we were about, I mean, they're pretty good seats.
Okay.
16 rows up. People spent some money on them. Molly spent some good money on them.
I went to a concert in Vegas a few weeks ago, and there's this woman standing up, recording on her phone the entire show.
Yeah.
And I watched this for two songs. Then I have to say, now am I going to stand up? Then the guy behind me is going to have to stand up. So I'm like peeking around her. And then finally, I stand up and I yell in her ear and I go, would you sit down? You're the only person standing here, please. She got all ticked off at me. She was furious
Who what? Was it Barry Manilow?
Chicago.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good concert.
That's a sing-along
that
concert.
That is a sing-along concert. Yeah, everybody with their phones filming, too. Just stop filming. Just enjoy it.
Live life
be in the moment.
Through your eyeballs.
If you want to record one song that's your favorite, great. But the number of people that just sat there videotaping, recording the whole thing.
You know what? There's 4 million videos on YouTube that are no better than yours. And and nobody wants to see it. You're going to, except you just said you're going to show me your video after we finished. I'm sorry.
No, you don't want to see it. It's really not worth anything.
Oh,
right, one last, can I ask you a sports tangent question along those lines? So he came out, Garth did.
Yeah.
In Arizona. wearing a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. The whole concert in a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. Now, it's a stadium tour, and Fitz is beloved down there. He's been there like 18 years. Yeah. He's been there forever. So it got me thinking, if Garth did one at CenturyLink Field, which he's not scheduled to, but if he did, whose Seahawk jersey is he wearing? Who's the most beloved in this run that we've had, this captivating, everybody is in. There's more 12s than there have ever been before over the last 10 years.
That's
and there have been
one.
A lot of choices. There are kind of a lot of different cast of characters.
Well, Russell's the obvious answer.
He's the obvious, but is he?
But is it the correct answer? Is it the best answer?
Is it Marshawn? Would he wear a Marshawn? Would he wear a Sherman? Would he wear a Cam? Would he wear an Earl? Would he wear a Bobby? I think he'd wear a Wagner.
It could be Wagner.
He's kind of built like a linebacker. He's a third baseman, Garth, in his day. I think he'd wear a Bobby Wagner.
So are you saying that I'm built like a linebacker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm in a small, undersized, all-heart linebacker, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it'd be a Bobby. I think it'd be a Bobby, but there'd be a lot to choose from.
You probably didn't have much time to watch the tournament this
We did.
Weekend.
No, we did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually watched quite a bit of it. The concert was at night.
I was I'm still very happy for Gonzaga.
Yes.
That Duke game that they almost lost was one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life.
Couldn't believe that. We watched it at the airport last night. It's
how the last shot and the last tip-in, how neither one of those went in.
If that kid on the tip-in, the shot's kind of hard. He got a defender there. He kind of high off the glass. But that defender sweeps in, and he has done that in his life how many times? You think 100?
Oh, yeah, 500, yeah.
Between practices and AAU and games.
How sick is he for the rest of his life?
I mean, you saw those guys in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just sobbing and bawling because they know they were right there.
Yeah.
Right on the precipice, in your own fingertips. And then how it still didn't go in as it rolled off was... Yeah, remarkable.
I climbed from last place on Friday to third place out of six in the family bracket.
Oh, well done.
By the end of game Sunday.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I've got some momentum going.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. But I didn't pick Gonzaga to win it.
No. Duke?
Yeah, Duke over Virginia.
Yeah.
I went with the Chalk Brock. Chalk Brock!
Well, the Huskies got the most out of their run. I'll say that. You know, they fell to North Carolina on Sunday, on yesterday as well. 12.5 point underdogs. Nothing to be ashamed of.
No, it's great. Great if you make it to the second.
Oh, I wrote my senior philosophy paper called The River. And the
dream that was your senior philosophy paper?
In high school.
I'd like to read it. Do you still have it? I'd like to see the evolution of Brock Heward's mind.
I think I do.
In the last...
I'll chase that one down.
What's that been, about 22 years since you graduated high school?
Kid. Viking 25? Power will survive through the class of 95.
Go Vikings! All right, that is Brock Heward, fresh from the Garth Brooks concert in Glendale, Arizona. Thanks for coming by.
What a day.
Brock is the Monday Monster quarterback, and it's brought to you by IRG, Physical and Hand Therapy. I'm not going to have you sing us out.
No,
if Garth do it, yeah. Lots more straight ahead. Here in the Dory Monster Show.
Many times we stand aside and let the water slip away. What we put off till tomorrow has now become today. So don't...
Oh, let's pull up the old Online Trading Academy text line. You can contact us at 98973. That's 98973 from the 425. Dory, you're just old. If you don't want someone standing in front of you, then buy a better ticket. People are excited to be at the show, so they should be able to stand up, dance, and sing. Now, look, by the way, I bought really good tickets. I was third row for that concert. I just wanted to sit and watch the concert, and nobody else is standing. Except this one woman who happened to be right smack dab in front of me. And she's holding her phone, recording the whole concert. Why? You're never going to watch that video. Your friends aren't going to want to watch it. You can find 4 million, like I said to Brock, videos of all their songs on YouTube. She's the only person standing. Everybody else wanted to just sit and enjoy the show. Selfish. It's not that I'm getting old. It's that I'm not selfish. I'm not going to stand and block the view of the person sitting behind me. I'm too nice a person. The person in front of me, not nice. It's not a nice person. We got a lot of stuff that we're going to share with you. How about this one? So somebody gets arrested, and they have to post bail if they want to go free before their trial, right? Well, guess what? The King County Council, my friend, executive producer over at Cairo 7 TV, Casey McNerthney, he got a tip that the King County Council is requesting $400,000 tax dollars so you and I can pay bail for people who can't afford it. They say that it's in the name of equity and social justice because poor people can't afford bail. Okay, what is bail for? It's somebody's putting up cash, either the defendant or their family members. Sometimes it's a bail bondsman. But somebody puts up cash, and then when they actually show up in court, you get your cash back. It's a way to make sure that somebody shows up for their court appearance. So now, I mean, think how bizarre this is. So now the King County Council, I hate to use epithets, but these morons. So they're going to have you and me post bail. And Casey has contacted the council spokesperson and said, can you tell us what kind of criminals the taxpayers would be posting the bail for? And they haven't gotten back to him. I'll talk to Casey probably in the big lead at 2 about this. But think about this. So you have somebody who's in front of a judge for a street assault, for shoplifting. I don't know. I don't know what kind of crimes are covered. They don't specify that. And then you and I pay their bail. And we don't get the money back if they don't show up. What are the odds that they're going to show up for their hearing, for their trial? I'll tell you what the odds are. Zero. If they're not going to lose any bail money, if their family members aren't going to lose anything, I mean, at least the family members can exert a little pressure on them. It's unbelievable. They want you and me. They have put out a request for $400,000 so you and I can pay the bail. It's in the name of equity and social justice, though. It's like that's everything. The progressives, everything they say, they have to include those words. It's in every line that Jenny Durkin utters. It's all about equity and social justice. How can you it's only $400,000. That's a thimbleful of latte a day. How can you question that? It's for equity and social justice. No, it'll ensure that we have a lot of bail jumpers who never show up in court. So I'll tell you more about that story later today. And then also coming up, Richard Schwartz, the guy who told the city council he felt bad that they wouldn't lift up their heads from their phones and laptops and iPads while he was talking for 2 minutes during public comment. That video's been seen more than a million times. And I told you on Friday, Jenny Durkin's office, through an intermediary, contacted Nicole to get Richard's phone number. So I'm going to find out if Jenny Durkin actually called him. So I'll talk to him a little bit later this afternoon. Jam-packed show. Dory Monson Show rolls on.